grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 288, not Dude 88, 288 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. I am Chris Jordan, your host. Our guest tonight, the awesomely awesome Sev Tok, author of the book You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, alien experiencer and contactee. We will be talking about that later in the episode. Up front in the episode, we will be talking about her recent trip to South Dakota, one of the few actual live conferences that have happened during this COVID time. So we definitely want to talk to her about that experience. She had some amazing times out there with the Lakota tribe, things like that. So we definitely want to talk about that. We have a message from a listener here in just a second. I want to remind everybody that the Dudes and Beer podcast is officially brought to you by PodcastCadet.com. If you're a fan of podcasting like I am, want to start up a show for yourself, your friends, family, fun, church, school, business, whatever, stop on by PodcastCadet.com. That is all we do is podcasting, folks. I am one of the founders there. We do everything from one-on-one podcast consultation to training with the technology, showing you how to post on WordPress, showing you how to upload and distribute to platform, showing you how to monetize your podcast. So stop on by today. PodcastCadet.com is the website. The code that you want to use is DUDES20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. Also, I would like to thank a great listener who asked me recently. He's like, I always see all these little things in the background. What are they? Well, Chris, whenever he's typically on the road, is traveling with his very good friend that you probably see pictures of all over social media, Gort. So little Gort is back there typically. Say hi, everybody. We got our friend the Yeti back there that's hanging out along with some Bigfoot. Something that we'll be talking about this evening, a nice alien, as well as Nessie. And one of my favorites, Mothman. You gotta love having a little figurine of Mothman in the studio. So that's some of my favorite stuff. Just kicking around in here. You can see back there my Infinity Gauntlet for whenever I need to rule the universe. We have a very special message this evening. A good friend of the show, Dave Julian, sends me messages every once in a while that are, I mean, literally just crack me up. They are absolutely hilarious. And for me, it's one of those, it's been really great to kind of get them throughout COVID, for the fact that we don't get to go out to live events. We don't get to go out to things like the poetry slams that he puts on with College of Hip Hop Knowledge, stuff like that here in town. So to be able to see things like this, to be able to see artists out there creating, still doing fun stuff, still doing funny stuff out there in the world, I just had to give the man some props because this came through on my inbox like literally moments before I contacted our guest, and it just killed me. So enjoy, folks.
The aerodynamic ball head. The benefits are you can get a ball head wig, put it on top of your ball head, and then put a stylish wig on top of that. Also, you can comb your hair with a sponge. The only downfall, your hair slip off the pillow.
Thank you, Dave Julian, the poetic butcher. If you're not aware of him, folks, if you're out here in the greater Austin area, make sure to check him out. He is by far some of the best slam poetry that you will get out there. Speaking of fantastic writing, the book You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens is written by our guest this evening, Sev Tok. I have thoroughly enjoyed her visits to our show over the last year, I guess just over a year now. And thank you so much for always coming on the show whenever you were invited. Thank you so much for always sharing your great energy. Sev Talk, welcome to the show. How are you today, ma'am?
Good evening. Thank you for having me back. Hello to all your listeners.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You're always welcome on our show. Whenever I saw that you had just gotten back from South Dakota and going to the conference that you went and spoke at there with the Lakota tribe, I was like, oh, I've got to have Sev on to talk about this. So explain to us what the conference was. I guess you were just getting ready. You were a couple months away from that conference whenever we had you on last time. So tell us all about it.
It was excellent conference. It's what I would call a boutique conference because it's not huge, about 30 to 40 people, and that's intentionally kept small so we can have the experiences that we did. Everyone left that conference. It was 4 days, having many transformations on many levels. And I was a speaker there, and it went well. I really enjoyed it. I met a lot of people. And one of the highlights conference, which will take place again in Wasta, South Dakota, in July of next year, was to be amongst the Lakota indigenous. We were in Lakota territory, and we were really privileged to personally meet Chief Orville and his wife, and to also personally meet Henry Red Cloud, who actually just became a chief over the weekend. He was handed his feather bonnet, as they call it. And to be in the presence of an Indian chief is really different. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. Have you, Chris?
Yes, I actually have. My family was very, very close with one of the chiefs of the Coushatta Indian tribe in Louisiana.
Oh.
And I had numerous opportunities to go to Sings. They have their big tribal conference out there every year on their land, stuff like that. It was always fantastic.
Yes, it is. They just as a people, they have their own vibration and their own frequency. And when you're with them, you can feel it. And so with Chief Orville, he was a tall man and just exuded a lot of power. But ironically, when he spoke, it wasn't very loud. He was very soft-spoken. So this energy of power just exuded from him and not necessarily from him talking. We also went to the Badlands, and we went to Devil's Tower.
Oh, awesome.
The indigenous or the Lakota don't really like the term Devil's Tower. But we did go there and meditated at the base of the tower, and that was a really super cool experience at night during this amazing thunderstorm. And there were many people who talked about a variety of topics, ET-related and spiritual. I urge everyone to go. It's South Dakota. I'd never been to South Dakota before. It's gorgeous. Very beautiful, and with a different type of energy. I loved it.
Well, and myself, it's one of those, whenever I go out, I've always typically got a crystal with me. But whenever I go out to places like that, it is great to just get away from everything. Whether I'm on a physical retreat or not, that idea of retreat to actively get away on purpose always comes to my mind as someone who led retreats for a long time. So,
you did.
For me, moments like that, like even today, my wife and I went out to the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center here in Austin. I've got a show this upcoming Friday. My first show outside of my house in my home studio since all of this started. So I'm very excited. I've been testing gear for 3 days. I'm so excited. But Yeah, just to go out and walk and be amongst nature was so entirely calming.
It sure is. We all know that there have been studies and scientific research showing that exactly what you said. So this conference, Consciousness and Contact, this was the third year. It's still pretty new. And each year, the attendees of the conference have seen a UFO or a spaceship or a craft. And I definitely saw one at this time. And when I woke up in the morning, there was a lady talking about seeing a craft, and she pointed to the exact same place that I saw it. So I was glad that someone else saw it, too. That's always nice to have that kind of validation.
Yeah, yeah. And explain to us what that experience was like while you were out there on this property doing this literal sacred thing with the Lakota Indian tribe, the chief installation ceremony. What was it like for you? Because you've, of course, had ET experiences before. That's what your whole book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, is about, is being a contactee, being someone who's experienced these things almost her whole life. But what is it like for you outside of the realm of contact to have a sighting like that?
It's hard to put into words. It was a very, very big ship, and I don't know how to describe it. It was like something came over me. I was with a group of people when I saw it,
but wow.
I didn't say anything. I can't even describe to you why. I can't explain why I didn't say anything. I saw it, and I just sat back in my chair and just kept staring at it, and I'm having this internal conversation with myself, like, why aren't you saying anything? Why aren't you saying anything? Why aren't you saying anything out loud?
Yeah.
But I just didn't. And then I said goodnight, everybody, and I went to bed. This was around 11 o'clock at night or something. It was kind of late. And I went to bed. I don't know. I do believe that when we have contact, often we do things that at the time might not seem logical at all. We don't know why that we're doing them. And I think it's because when you see a UFO or when you come in contact, your vision with something so different and unusual. And I think sometimes we kind of shut down certain parts of our brains, certain parts of our thinking, in order to just to cope with what's going on.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I could see, especially if it were something along those lines, like you were saying, if you see a ship that large, you know, how that would literally be a stymieing moment where you're just in mental lockdown trying to put a grasp on what it is that you're seeing, you know?
Right. And then at the same time, I feel so tiny. Like, it's just like, you know, I'm just this one tiny little person, and it's just the remembering that there's so many different types of beings out there, so and the really cool privilege of being come in contact with any of them is spectacular, and we are having contact not only in 3D but in the multi dimensions. Some people think they're dreams and things, but they're not. They're real contact that happens in another, like, strata of frequency.
Well, and let's start kind of cracking that nut a little bit, Sev, about contact, talking with aliens, talking with extraterrestrial beings, and really what we're here to talk about tonight, connecting with the source. which kind of goes beyond the point of Alien, but it is, in and of itself is literally alien to most people. In the truest sense of the word, meaning something foreign to you that you are not aware of.
Yes, and it's all tied together. I recently started a new blog called the Light Age blog, writing about how religion and spirituality and ETs, how they're all starting to blend together. Some people think that there's this new religious movement that includes ETs. I don't see it as being religious at all. And I really haven't really quite come up with a word to express the union of all three of those. But that's what's happening now. There's a union. Talking about ETs, I really don't think you can talk about ETs without bringing in spirituality or the source, because the source that runs through you and me is the same source that runs through these ETs.
Well, that's just it. I mean, it's hard to talk about the concept of life, capital L, to begin with, without getting spiritual. You don't have to get religious, but without getting spiritual, that's hard. Because then it comes down to just straight biology at that point. And unfortunately, there's so much that is affected by biology, but is not necessarily biological in the way that it interacts with us and in the way that we interact with it in the strange quantum physics way that the universe fluxes.
Yes, and the way you put that reminds me of the biofield that we all have. We all have a biofield, and this has been scientifically proven, and it's quantum in nature. As you're talking about, this field that we exude has information in it and communicates with the cells in our bodies, with our mind, biological, chemical processes within the body and also outside of the body. And this bio is electromagnetic in nature. And I talk a lot and I conduct sessions and I do videos and speak a lot about this biofield and this this energy that we radiate and how that determines the quality of our individual lives. And I started a series on my YouTube channel, Aliens, about 10 ways to activate your ascension, which basically has to do with how you could tweak your energy or your frequency so you're vibrating at a higher level. And as you change your vibration, your reality changes around you.
Well, and that's just it. It really is about the vibration period. And one of the things that I try to explain to people all the time, as an AV technician, there's a constant battle between lighting and sound, Sev. We need to have our stuff down first, because you got to have lights before you have sound. Well, we have to start sound checking before we light the stage. The argument I give people all the time is, hey, calm down, because it's all the exact same spectrum. All the exact same spectrum. The only difference is I can't hear the part of the spectrum that you're showing me. And you can't see the part of the spectrum that I'm letting you hear. That's all. It all comes from the same spectrum, whether it's light, whether it's sound, it's all frequency. And one of the things that we talk about on this show regularly is that electron cloud principle in quantum mechanics, the concept that our electron cloud is huge. Like, we're sharing an electron cloud right now, you and I, and you are way over on the East Coast, and I'm over here in Texas.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes, we are. That's right. We all are. We're all sharing our clouds.
Yeah, precisely. So in that way, we are quantum entangled together. We're all part of the same strand of DNA in the universe, if you want to look at it that way.
Right. You know, just it was yesterday or the day before, I was having a conversation with a friend about, what is it called? About whether we're being controlled, like in a video game. So is this my video game,
sure.
My personal video game, and am I controlling my video game, and I happen to put you in my game, or is someone else controlling me, and we absolutely have no power whatsoever? There are some people who think that. That's a scary thought. It's not a comforting thought.
No.
What do you think about that?
I don't personally... now, granted, I am an open-ended book when it comes to spirituality, because spirituality is literally an individual understanding of a universal concept. So, totally different than religion. They can exist separately. And for me, it really is the fact of there... The only way I can put it, Sev, is yes, there is something bigger than us. There is something, there was a prime mover, as Aristotle would put it. There was something that put this force into motion. And that energy is still there. We are a part of that energy. I think probably the best way I've read it, through my years of spiritual reading, I was even out reading alchemical books before I came in today. My wife was laughing at me like, "You are a nerd, aren't you?" I was like, "Yeah, yes, I am." But I think the easiest way I've heard it explained is probably through Kabbalistic teaching. And the whole concept that every letter has a number. Every number has a value and its place in the universe. And that God is the number one. Now, of course, for the Hebrews folks, God is God. You know, substitute God with whatever your spirituality is. But there is the number one. And without the number one, no other number can exist. And it was like, whoa. Wow. Like, and that is where, like, numerology begins. Like, so many esoteric teachings have their root right there in that one little sentence of the fact of God is the number one, and without one, no other number can exist. That was probably the easiest proof I've found, like literally proof. So for me, that's where my spirituality always draws back to, is that there is something larger than me, a machine in the universe of which I am a cog. And that cog can speed up, that cog can slow down, and that cog absolutely affects the machinery around it and the way that machinery moves. And how fast it moves, how efficiently it moves, if it moves at all. But all that is up to this tiny little cog right here.
So you do believe that you do have control?
I believe that I have control, absolutely. Now, there is something larger than myself out there, you know, like the whole concept of... trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. If what you're trying to do is harmful or bad, or even harmful to you in some way, as fun as it might seem, there might just be a reason why you're not succeeding. You know? 'Cause
Because of that one thing?
Yeah. Yeah, just the whole concept of, I mean, I was raised Catholic, but my spirituality has brought me to numerous places and numerous places of study in my life. And to me, they all speak of that capital T universal truth, that literal universal resonant frequency of you are a part of something larger than you. You can affect that system.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a big fan of the work of Caroline Corey for years.
Yeah.
Have you seen her new film, Superhuman?
Not yet.
Oh, my God. I'm still trying to get her on the show. I've contacted her a couple times personally, and it's in the hands of representation right now. But, man, I probably watched the film Superhuman about 5 times. And to to see her go through and change the pH of water with her thought on camera, live.
Yes, and this goes back to the biofield that we were talking about earlier. It's definitely a movie that it's a documentary. Would you call it a documentary?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Okay, definitely one that I will be watching very soon. I do like Caroline Corey very much. I love her messages, and she's basically just talking about the same thing that you and I are talking about right now, which is that that field that we exude and permeates through everything, and because of that, we can communicate with things that we didn't even think we could communicate with, and including pH.
Yeah, precisely. Not just pH, but, I mean, there's so many things that you can change via your own will, and literally begin to change the world around you, begin to change the way that you filter the world around you. Now,
yes, now that right there, that's crucial, the way you filter the world around
you.
Well,
let's get into that real quick, because I think that has a lot to do with the next question that we have, which is brought up by one of our listeners here in chat. So let's go ahead and talk about filtering the world around you real quick.
Mm-hmm. So it's completely up to you how you want to filter the world around you. Some of us are very negative and pessimistic and fear-based, and some of us are not, and there's all kinds of gradients in between. And for those of us who filter the people and the situations and the events around us through the lens of fear or victimization, that begins to transform the reality around you because you allow yourself to resonate with that frequency, which is a lower frequency. Fear is a lower frequency. Victimization is a lower frequency. And as you do that and you sit in that lower vibe, then you start aligning with other people who also have a lower vibe, and jobs that have lower vibes, careers or where you live, and you settle into this low vibe life. Life can get very difficult and can get very scary and can make you feel like you have absolutely no control whatsoever, and from that builds resentment and jealousy. And you just start going down this rabbit hole of negativity. Now, in any given second, you can change your mind and decide, I'm not going to filter the world through such a low-frequency beliefs. I'm going to filter the world and the people around me and the events and the situations through it's going to sound cliche, but the filter of love, which means you learn to take a couple steps back and watch, try your best to watch from the higher perspective. That's really the easiest way to tweak your energy so that you are vibrating at a higher frequency, is to stop taking everything so personally.
Yes.
And stop thinking that you're out of control, and to be able to just take a couple steps back and just watch the person who's talking to you. And sometimes it's like adopting the stance of watching a movie and not getting what the person's saying to you to trigger you. And this all takes practice. It's not easy. Many of us are not taught this.
Yeah.
As we're being raised. Definitely society doesn't teach us this. So it's something that needs to be practiced. But the most important thing is the awareness, to know that you have it within you to change your perspective, which then completely changes your personal reality.
Yeah,
it's the awareness that is the most important.
Yeah, precisely. It really is that moment of self-empowerment, like you said, to not sound cliche. It's hard to not sound cliche whenever you talk about things like this in that way, just in the fact of, yes, the fact that you got angry about that political post on Facebook is utterly up to you.
Right.
You have the choice to scroll past it. You have the choice to not respond, to leave it be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we really do kind of have to start owning that ourselves before we can take that step into manifestation, before we can truly take that step into small cog moving the big cogs around it on purpose. Until then, it's the fact of you may swat a fly every now and then, but you're probably spending a lot of effort swinging.
Yes, and it gets tiring.
Yeah.
And also, if we don't demand this from ourselves individually, how can we demand it from our leaders? How can we demand it from our society?
Yeah.
If we're not even practicing it individually.
That's right.
So in order for a collective transformation, that starts from individual transformation. So every single solitary person matters.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In
Very
order for humanity,
to the collective consciousness.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. In order for humanity to realize that we're accountable, we have to hold ourselves accountable.
Right, and many of us are starting to do that. Many of us are thinking about it, and some of us don't even know that we can do that. I would like to see what comes out of 2020.
Yes.
How many people have delved into a spiritual practice or educating themselves?
Yep.
How many people are practicing that right now? But when things get back to normal, and they're going to get back to some kind of normal,
sure.
How many will just drop it and fall back to the negative ways that they used to be? To me, that's very interesting, what's happening right now. There's definitely some kind of huge energy transformation going on in this planet for us to be erupting on so many different levels. And this is something that our collective consciousness has asked for.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. Our collective consciousness has been crying out for it, Sev.
Yes.
Not just asking for it. And it really is. It's the fact of catharsis is not fun. Catharsis is dangerous to the organism catharsizing. You have to be vulnerable for a minute or two. The caterpillar literally can't duck or move or dodge from anything while it's in that cocoon changing, folks. But when it comes out, the change is huge. And it's a totally different thing. And for me, it was one of those, my change of filter. I had a boss, Russ Reisman in Maine years ago, who asked me how it was that no matter what horrible thing happened, I could always see some kind of positive in it. And I was like, it's just...
Well, that's beautiful.
I was like, that's just the teacher in me. Like, for me, it's one of those, is this a learning experience? Is this something that I can learn and better myself from? Because even mistakes, when you own up to them, are something that you can better yourself from.
Absolutely.
You know?
But it's scary. It's scary to delve deep inside.
Well, it's scary to own up to it.
That we don't like about ourselves. Shine light on them.
Well,
many people don't want to do that.
Well, and it really is that personal accountability, Sev. It's the fact of being willing to hold up that harsh reflective mirror and go, hey, you know what? That needs to go, and that needs to go, and that needs to go. And if that means that you don't visit that Facebook group every day, visit it twice a week. You know what I mean? Like, start tapering off, man. Start drinking a half-calf decaf instead of full throttle coffee, you know? Start cutting back. Because it really is one of those. Now it is more of a drain, whereas like negative is actually the natural reflex of things, which the media takes advantage of a lot. Because our brain learns through negative reinforcement. It learns through things like fire is hot. Ow. Yeah, it is. You know, that has kept us alive for thousands of years. So that fight or flight response that negativity puts in can be a good thing for reinforcement. But the problem is it's addictive. And it's so easy to get caught up in that negative cycle. It's so easy to, like Yoda said, it's not that the dark path is more powerful. It's just faster. It's easier.
It's faster and easier?
You know? And for me, it's the fact of now it's a whole lot more work for me to think horrible, bad thoughts about something.
like, right, it does take work. Yeah,
I can see the negative impacts of something, but I don't dwell on them like I used to. I don't get caught up in depressive thinking about it. I don't get caught up in anger about it like I used to, and it's utterly freeing. It really is great in a lot of ways.
Yes, that is very freeing. And that we accomplish that, as we were talking earlier, about practicing how to take a couple steps back and just try to look from a higher perspective, whatever you think the higher perspective might be.
Yeah.
I was just having this conversation the other day about RBG, who just passed. And so we were talking Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and we were talking about what a fascinating time for her to leave Earth. I believe that we all choose the moment of our death as we choose the moment of our birth. So from a higher perspective, to try and understand, why did she die right now? Like, this is like right, like you couldn't wait 6 more weeks.
I just can't anymore. I'm done.
Maybe that's it. It could also be another really good reason that we can't even comprehend yet, because we don't know what the outcome of all this is going to be.
Absolutely.
Well, whatever it is, I do believe it's in response to what our collective consciousness is asking for, which is massive transformation on multiple levels. How you feel about Trump, whether you like him or not, I think it's irrelevant to the belief that I have that we asked for someone like Trump to shake things up. Now, how do we want him to continue shaking things up? I don't, that's a personal opinion. But he's definitely illuminated some really ugly, ugly things about the United States of America, many of us were just delusional about. There are people I really don't think just realized how racist this country is. And he has made that very clear. And we need to see that in order to heal it. All the other things that he's illuminated.
Sev, it's one of those, in any 12-step program will tell you, it's nobody's decision but your own. And it literally is that point of fact of, on occasion, it takes something so riotously raunchy like what is happening right now in our world for people to wake up and sober up and go, whoa, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
So that is that is a thing that is happening.
It is there, and we have to look at ourselves and realize we are asking for this. We've created this situation.
That's right. I'm going to have to find, because whenever the election happened 4 years ago, we covered like a 5-hour chunk of the election up to the point of actual election. And I horribly remember laughing on air while people were in disbelief. I was just laughing and going, I told you so. I told you. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is exactly what America has been asking for. It's what we've been begging for. Just give us the reality TV president already. Just be done with it.
And how are we handling it? So we
like
got
children.
What we asked for, and
like,
how are we dealing with it? Some people are just completely freaking out and feeling like they're unempowered and they're lost and they don't matter and my vote doesn't matter. Yeah. But some of us are feeling more empowered than ever.
Yeah.
And once again, that has to do with your own personal filter or your own which eyeglasses you world with.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that really is the biggest part of this conversation, period, as well as the conversation of your book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, is the fact of it's the filter that you look at the world through.
That's one thing that the ETs helped me see, that I was looking at the world through the lens of victimization.
Mm.
And talking about the higher perspective or our higher selves asking for something, like we were talking about, our collective consciousness is asking for a lot of this turmoil so we can see the truth about things. The ETs did that to me too when they put those two red X's on my tush. That's what it took for me to wake up. You know, we all have different, I call them line in the sand. Some of us have these really, this line where we just take so much shit. We just keep taking shit more and more and more and more. And finally, it just hits like this crazy, like out of this insane thing for you to go, oh my God, okay, now I hear you, now I see you, now I get it. And we all have that different life. Some of us take less shit, some of us take more shit. But I was taking a lot of crap. It was really the exes. I needed something crazy. I needed something mind-boggling to happen for my... I was asking from a higher perspective to finally come to terms with all the ET contact that I've been having in my life. But every time I got a signal, every time there was another mark on my body or another experience of being taken or another experience of having communication, I would just deny it. I would say, oh, no, that didn't happen. Oh, no, I'm just going to ignore it. And then finally, just like our country, it's like I can't hide it anymore. Like, just can't. Like, it's all just going to come out in this really highly emotional way. That's what happened for me, and that's what's happening to all of us right now.
Well, and rightfully so. You know, like this show in and of itself, Sev, the whole reason I started this show was almost burden of knowledge. I had spent years researching topics. I had spent years going into things, digging and rooting, and then spent my time in media and alternative media and saw how alternative media spotlighted it, sometimes in a very awful way, and mainstream media just utterly ignored it, always in an awful way. And it was one of those, like, my God, is nobody going to just have the conversation? It was just strange to me, because there are a few shows out there, you know, there are the Coast to Coast AMs, there are the Clyde Lewis's, there's, you know, Midnight in the Desert, all kinds of good stuff like that. People that are out there with these messages about fringe topics, doing things, most of them that are talking about it, and we were kind of talking about this off air a little bit, is extremely negative.
Yeah.
And tends very, very much toward the negative side of things. And once you start digging into those community conversations and really getting into the community, there is a, even the way that there is in normal media, there's kind of this underbelly that's like, oh man, why is that got to be in there? You know? Why do people have to take it to a point of fear? Why do people have to take it to a point of hate and negativity? And I don't grasp it. I don't understand it. But I definitely can empathize with it as a human being. Because there are times when I catch myself, you know, in the middle of saying something. And I have to kind of backpedal and go, whoa, hold on. Yeah, I can't say that. I can't do that. That's not the right mentality to have. That's not the right way to go about doing things. And unfortunately, it really is the fact of you have to be willing to see the problem, be willing to accept the problem in order to change the problem. And that's kind of what we're up against right now, is a bunch of people and a bunch of the world seeing a problem that people haven't really wanted to admit for a long time. And I think that here in the next few years, some of the communities that you and I belong in are going to be in for a big, big awakening. When it comes to the topic of ETs, aliens, their presence, things like that. One of our listeners, Doug Wiggins, asked the question for you, Sev. How can we recognize extraterrestrials? And that's kind of why I wanted to go down that jaunt of adjusting yourself, adjusting your attitude, adjusting your filter to begin with. But how is it that you recognize whenever messages are incoming? Because, like we were talking about earlier, things being entangled, they're always incoming. But how is it that you recognize and key in on those messages as being from somewhere else, definitely not your own, and from an intelligence from away?
That's a very good question. Thank you very much for that question, Doug. So extraterrestrial is just a very generic word for any being, whether it's 3D or multidimensional, that is just off Earth. So that could be an angel, it can be a spirit guide, it can be a gray, it can be so many different things. And as far as recognizing, I I work with experiencers around the world. I ask if anyone needs help processing what has happened to them, because what has happened to them is a remarkable, spectacular event and should be understood, because these contacts don't happen by accident. If someone is looking for some help with that, I offer that, and they can just go to my website, planetsev.com, and they can see how they can reach me, and they can tell me their story in private.
That's one of the things that I love, Sev, is that you put yourself out there for everybody. You are not somebody that is necessarily just keeping yourself on hold for folks calling it. Like, I don't even see a PayPal anywhere on a website here, folks. And that website is directly in front of your face right now. There's no donate button. There's nothing like that. And that's what I love about you, is that you're out there trying to shift a paradigm. You're out there trying to help people understand that they are the greatest source of change in their life.
Yes, that's such a good way to put it. Yes. Very much so. And the ETs are helping us. They are helping us with this. I know there are some people who have had ET experience that they viewed as being very negative, which I used to do. Mm. But then my perception shifted, and I could see now that it was purely because of my perception and my filters that I saw it as being as something negative, when in reality it was not. It was very helpful. It changed my life for the better.
Sure. And that's a scary thing, though, Sev. And, you know, I'm one of those. I have not had. I guess I have had an extraterrestrial encounter because I've been trying to point out to people that paranormal people get very, very scared by the name. And it's literally one of those. It just means outside of the norm.
Right.
Just means something that's not normal. And that's okay. That something's not normal.
Totally okay.
Like, didn't we all learn that on Sesame Street in, like, 1978? I did.
I learned English watching Sesame Street.
You are the fifth person in my life who has told me that.
Oh, and Mr. Rogers, I learned English from him, too.
And you know what's funny? They also told us about that personal zone. If we all maintained that...
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
If we all maintain that 10-foot personal zone, 6-foot intimate zone, we might just be all right. But the fact that you are out there trying to change people, trying to show them a different path, is what I love. And
I really don't want to change anybody. But there's so many people out there who are just looking to hear these words come from someone else other than from their own head. There are people who are looking for validation, and I would just like to provide that validation and also just provide the loving message that you're worthy of everything that you want.
Oh.
You're worthy of everything that you want.
Absolutely.
And not to fall prey to thinking that only special people or privileged people get to create the life to their standards. Oh. That's not true.
The great thing is you're special. We're all special.
We are. We're all
so
special,
it's,
yeah.
It, you know, so for Chris, me, like I was saying, go ahead, Sev.
Okay. I just wanted to go back to Doug's question, because I don't know if I completely answered it or if we completely talked about it. But he asked, how do you recognize that you're talking to an ET? Is that what he said?
Yes.
Okay. So this communication can happen in so many different ways. 3D, you know, they can come into your bedroom, or you're driving down the highway, you know, all the stories that we heard, or you communicate with them in an interdimensional fashion, which is how most ET contact is happening. So it can be done in a meditation, or it could just be done where you're just with your eyes open in the middle of the day, just in your living room, or it can happen in dreams, but these are not traditional dreams. I tend to call them night travels, because they're not really dreams, they're really travels that you're having, And when you're awakening, some of us are better at remembering interdimensional contact that we made. Some of us are better at it than others. But with practice, we can remember more of what goes on while we think we're sleeping. Well, while this body is sleeping, but the rest of us is still continuing living other lives because we're all living multiple lives at the same time. So right now, as you and I are talking, I'm dying. In one of my lives, I'm dying. In one of my lives, I'm being born. I have no recollection of that right now as I talk to you, but I do believe that that's what's happening.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Sev, because as I said earlier, we've been trying to break down a lot of these barriers in conversation and really, really break down words. And whenever you said extraterrestrial a while ago, I have had an extraterrestrial experience, and that was my experience with God. He is definitely not of this earth. And the reason why I take to heart anybody that says that they are an experiencer, anybody that says that they have had something happen to them, good or bad, that the rest of people do not think happened. Even those who, like next week with our guest Dr. John Hall, are people who say that they are targeted individuals. That for me strikes a chord near and dear to my heart, because before I entered the seminary, I had my literal religious experience where I felt the presence of God, and I felt it a few times in my life where there is no doubt to me that that is what is in the room, that is what is happening. And that's one of those things that now that I've learned to recognize that I'm dialed into it, it's not always there. You know, it's definitely not there as much as it used to be because I don't flex the muscles as much as I used to. Whenever I've told people that I felt the presence of God, the look on their faces over their pint glass is always hilarious. Because typically that doesn't come up in conversation till like we've been hanging out and having a few pints a few times, you know, that I drop the bomb of, oh yeah, no, I talked with God. Wait, what, man? And, you know, but for me, God was there. It was right there. It was tangible. It was definitely a voice that I heard calling to me. But it was, like you said, indescribable. I can't describe, kind of like the astronauts cannot describe what it was like when they were on the moon. It's such an ethereal experience. You're in a different place. It's kind of like whenever I'm using all the equipment here behind me and making music. I'm here, but I'm not.
Right. Some senses are turned on and some senses are turned off.
Oh, some of them are dialed to like 98.
Yeah.
Like they're redlining some of them.
And the paranormal senses.
And, you know, like a prime example of that muscle flex, folks, it doesn't have to be talking to God. It doesn't have to be talking to extraterrestrial beings. It can literally be, I found a box today, Sev, that I was looking for 2 days. And granted, a lot of people would say, like, okay, so you randomly found the box. This box is approximately the size of my hand. For those in the industry that know, it's a direct box. Very small, not big, maybe the size of 2 packs of cigarettes put together. Been looking for it for 2 days. Went to sleep last night with the distinction in my mind of I'm finding that box. And that was my mission while I slept, was to pay attention for that box. while I was dreaming to look for it.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, during one of my dreams last night, I was working at my bench and opened up my drawer, and behind my books was the box. And there it was. Not even joking.
In real life.
But yep, in real life. But it literally is. It is that point of full on intention. When I was going to bed, I was thinking about the box. I was thinking about being calm and just going on whatever journey I was going to go on. But look for the box while you're doing that. You know, kind of like, hey, I wonder how many cows I can spot while I'm going down the road. You might actually spot cows near where you live that you didn't even know existed, believe it or not, because you're like going through life in rote memory. We go through so much of life in a hypnotic state and in a state of absolute reaction instead of a state of intention.
Mm-hmm.
And like our brain is made to do that. It's made to walk and talk and chew bubble gum at the same time. It's made to be able to multitask in that way, for you to be able to breathe and live without ever thinking about it. Like, imagine if you had to think about breathing, people. How productive would you be during the day if you had to think to breathe?
And that's a good analogy. I give classes and talks and workshops and things about how to increase your paranormal abilities.
Mm.
You can get to the point where you're plugged in 24/7, whatever plugged in means to you, whether it's plugged into your spirit guide, plugged into your higher self, or just plugged into the universe, where you can hear messages and guidance all day long, 24/7. So in the beginning, it just takes a lot of practice, but after a while, it's so normal that when, for me, it's very, very normal just to be walking around, just plugged in, just always open to hearing whatever message is going to come through.
Well, and, you know, I guess a lot of my, I've got a guy that I work with on the road regularly, Sev, who tells me all the time, just stop shooting sunshine up my ass, man. like, you do not enjoy this that much. And I'm like, yes, I do. Like, I get paid to travel around and play with people's expensive toys. How awesome is that? I get paid to do what I love on the daily. How can I ever want anything more? You know, family, kid, got it. Like, it's all coming up, Chris. It's great. So for me, it's one of those, like I said earlier, through flexing that muscle of just refracting the light. You don't have to reflect it. You don't have to. All you got to do is bend that light a little bit. Just change the angle of its course, and you'll be surprised what colors pop out.
Yeah, it's all right there. It's right within you.
Yeah.
So we're just asking you to be aware of it. Everything really basically starts just with the awareness that you do have abilities that chances are you're not really using or you're ignoring. Like Caroline Corey talks about in her movie, all these abilities that we all have. We can all talk to the dead. We can all have premonitions. We can all see things in our dreams, get answers in our dreams. We can all do this. You just have to want to do it, desire it.
Well, and that's just it. It really is the point of intention instead of reaction. And going through life with intention instead of just reacting to things around you.
Yes, that's very true. Still, as human beings, you know, we can still have moments where we react.
Oh, yeah.
But if we could just take a couple steps back and go, oh, I just really reacted, and
that's
I'm
going
to try to calm down here and take a couple steps back and try and understand what's happening and why did I have that reaction. I need to know why Yep. I had that reaction.
Yeah.
So that maybe I don't, if I don't like that reaction, I'm going to try not to show that reaction again. You know, going back to your so-called dream, where you ask a question and you received an answer.
Yep.
And this is something that I also do sometimes. Before going to bed, I'll just write a question down that I want an answer to in a book by my bedside table and then go to sleep. And then there's so many things that happen in that state. So you're getting an answer to where your box is, and some of us are talking to ETs. And that reminds me of this so-called dream, I say in quotation marks, where I saw my cat, Zulu. I have two black cats, and I'm about to adopt a stray cat, too, who's also black. So in my dream, Zulu was stuck in a closet. And I wake up in the middle of the night, and I call out her name. This is in real life. This is no longer the dream. I call out her name. She doesn't come. So I get out of bed, and I knew exactly which closet to go to because it was shown to me in the dream. I go downstairs. There's several closets down there, but I walk to one particular closet. I open the door, and she comes out like, meow, and she was stuck in that closet.
Yep.
So how did I see that in my dream? Did she talk to me in my dream? Where was I? What plane were we on? What world were we in that she showed me she was stuck in this closet and she wanted me to wake up and open it and let her out?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And not only that, now you've got to tackle the concept of that cat spoke to you.
Mm-hmm.
That cat
if
is conscious enough
times.
To be in the same realm as your dream now. And you know, it's just, it's amazing because our brains process so much. And that's a lot of what our dream state is literally the things that while our body was busy being bipedal and walking and trying to be a moving gyroscope and breathe for you and live and process food into fuel. Your brain is doing all of this, like, all day long. It is commanding every cell in your body. So when it sleeps, like, I tell this to my 3.5-year-old son every night and every day whenever he takes your nap. Whenever he takes his nap, see how rote it is in my brain, Sev? I just said your nap. when you sleep, that is when those little pieces of fruit get to jellify inside of the jello. That's when they get fixed in there. That's when all the things that we actively got to learn during the day that we didn't have time to process have time to sink in.
Mm-hmm.
And our body is busy reacting, doing its thing, just living in it. But our brain is soaking it all in. Whether we remember it, whether we retain it, or can spit it out, it's soaking it in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there. So, yeah, you do have to be careful what you put yourself around. Because it's there. Whether you cognitively saw it or not, it still somehow affected you. AF, folks.
You're talking about the experience that you have while you're so-called sleeping?
Well, how the world that you live in every day affects your dreaming world and your sleeping world.
Mm-hmm.
And where that intention of, I'm going to sleep to be peaceful now. I'm going to sleep to do this, to cut off, to heal, to relax. Because otherwise, yeah, it's literally just processing everything that you've gone through all day and how it related to things in third grade.
And then know, some people can't sleep.
Yeah, that's...
And that's horrible.
Yeah.
And that a lot of that just stems from the worry, which is really usually just the biggest waste of time. The things that we worry about almost always never really happen.
Yeah.
And that comes from powerlessness. The worry comes from feeling that you don't have any power to control what's going on in your reality. Once you feel like you have power, once you feel like you have control, you really don't worry that much anymore. It really happens.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, you know, this time during COVID, Sev, like we were talking about before the show, has been such a catalyst for our society of humanity in so many ways. Not just our society in America, but our society is humanity in so many ways. And my industry is one of those that has been particularly hit. The live entertainment, live event industry, I want to say the last total was close to $1 trillion lost already worldwide. It's insane. Like Houston alone lost into the billions within the first 3 months of the shutdown. And it's really hard for people in my industry to stay positive about this stuff. You know, and it's just one of those, I don't know why I have, that has been the furthest worry from my mind. And the only thing that comes through my mind all the time that my wife and I talk about regularly is we will be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
This,
that optimistic nature.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact of, we've got this. Like, we lived broke, hand to mouth, doing what we do as freelancers for years together. Now we're like masters of that. Like, this is nothing. You're asking us to like eat canned soup for like a month? Okay. Like, what's different than last year? So it's one of those, like, yes, we were doing great. We were doing amazing. And then things went down, but that doesn't mean that it's all over. You know?
Oh, gosh, no. And there's so many people that have decided to change careers.
Oh, God, yeah.
So many wonderful things that have happened when we have this opportunity to stay inside. And for those of us who wanted to take that opportunity to self-reflect, and to realize what's really important and what isn't, how are we being fake, and how are we not being real, and how are we not being our authentic selves? And for those of us who want to express the most authentic versions of ourselves, which are the happiest, most fulfilled versions of ourselves.
Exactly.
So many of us have really, really come a long way in this year, or some of us haven't. I'm just so interested to read about 2020, a few years from now, when books are written, movies and all that kind of TV shows and all that. I'm just going to really be fascinated to see 2020 from all the different perspectives, the good and the bad,
Especially as fast as the lens of society and history changes nowadays, like, you know, I mean, good God, we're coming up on 20 years from 9/11 next year. And this is something, if you think 9/11 changed some paradigms in the world, like, this is a situation where literally everybody in the world will know somebody affected. Whether they lost a job, whether they had a family member that lost a job, like, or got sick, or know somebody, or their friend's family got sick, like, everyone will know someone that was touched by this somehow.
Yes, which is staggering.
It is.
It's all around the world.
My wife interviews people for her Yes But Why podcast. Comedians all over the world, and she was talking at this last month, she had quite a few from India, and she was like, man, to talk to them over there, and I had a couple of in Australia, like, same thing. It's wild to see that this has touched everyone. And if anything, maybe that's one of the things we keep bringing up on this show. If we look at it through that lens, maybe that's the lens of positivity that we need, is the fact of this touched everybody. It didn't just change the way you travel. You know, like, it didn't just stop airplanes for a couple few weeks and change the way that we traveled internationally and nationally. It literally will change the way that we as humanity live together and work together.
Yes, and hopefully the overwhelming outcome will be seen as a very positive change.
Yeah.
Once again, depends on your filters and everything. You know, in quantum physics, they have all these theories about parallel worlds, multiple Earths, and unlimited amounts. And I do believe that each version of Earth is a different frequency. And I believe that we by changing our personal frequencies, we just slip into a slightly altered version of Earth, and then we make another decision or we tweak our energy some more, and then we slip into another slightly different version of Earth. And I believe that we do this all the time throughout the day,
sure,
according to what we're thinking. So when I was watching TV and I found out that RBG had left Earth, I said to myself, oh, I think I just slipped into another version of Earth where this is a reality, because there's another version of Earth where she's still alive.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm not in it. Well, that I know of.
And
I
now
mean,
you're stuck
be.
In this one, Sev.
What? I mean, excuse me?
And now you're stuck in this one.
Yeah, it's not a bad one.
It's not a bad
one.
It's a great one.
It's exciting.
It's a great reality. I love this reality. I would be sad if anything about this reality were intrinsically changed. For any of you time travelers in our audience out there tinkering with the with the space-time continuum, don't come on, man.
Oh my gosh.
that was a whole thread going on online for a little while. Was that this was proof of, like, everything going on in 2020 was proof of time travel? Just the way that it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. Like,
right.
Stop
What's
trying
next?
To fix it.
It's almost like it's like, okay, just bring it on now. Like, there's just so much that's been piled on us that it's like, okay, what's the next thing? It's like, just keep bringing it on. Just keep bringing it on. In some ways, we're desensitized in some ways because it's just so much.
Yes.
You can't even wrap your mind around it.
Exactly. Like, there's just numb sectors to my brain where it's like I see things and go, yep, there it is. and
how much more can we take? I don't know how much more we can take. We'll see. Because we are taking what we can handle. I do believe that.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And, you know, there's, like we were saying a while ago, it's the that catharsis that makes things happen. It's the stress of a hot summer that makes the good grapes grow. And
that's a good one. Yeah.
Like my old spiritual director, my Cistercian monk, used to tell me, takes a lot of poop to grow really good roses, Chris. you gotta shovel a lot of it. That's for you, Father Andy. I use that one all the time because it's absolutely true. Takes a lot of poop to make really good roses.
Right. And so you look at that poop, you can look at that poop two ways. You can look at it like being something horrible, or you can look at how valuable it is.
That's right.
Like you were saying earlier in our conversation, how you choose to look at something or filter something. Yeah.
Precisely, precisely. And with that in mind, Sev, thank you so much for coming on, talking about this topic.
Just trying to
change people's paradigms all the time. I love the messages that you are always putting out on Facebook, all over social media. Let everybody know where they can go to book a session with you, where they can go for their soul session, where they can go to watch Alien Spirit TV, where they can go to connect with you on social media, and where they can go to buy their copy of the book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens.
Thank you. The book is on Amazon, and my website, planetsev.com, has a lot of information. Alien Spirit TV is on YouTube. I have a newsletter, a monthly newsletter that you can sign up through my website.
Yep.
And I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram. And I have my blog, the Light Age blog.
Yeah, you are always putting content out there. It is fantastic. I subscribe to the newsletter. It is really great stuff, folks. If you're trying to do something in your life that is positive, if you are trying to do something to understand that you're the raindrop that makes the barrel overfill, there's always that one. You might be it. Only way to find out is to take the plunge. I'm full of them, man. Like, I could start up a greeting card company or something and just put phrases in a hat and let Hallmark choose them at will. If that's something that you're trying to do, folks, stop on by planetsev.com. That is planetsev.com on the internet. Sev, please do hold the line while we close things out. While you're online checking out everything from our great guest, please do not forget, Dudes and Beer is now officially available on Amazon Audible. If you are a fan of books like I am, don't have time to thumb a page anymore, but you got plenty of time to listen while you wire things or code the internet, do whatever you do, stop on by audibletrials.com/dudesandbeer today to get your 30-day free trial of Audible, and check out the Dudes and Beer podcast while you're there. We are now available on Audible, as are all of the great shows from the HC Universal Network. Make sure to stop on by and check them out. HCUniversalNetwork.com. Great shows like Yes But Why Podcast, Scary Dad Podcast, Kicking or Sticking Fantasy Football, Billion Realities with Jessica Gerlach, Richard's Face Off Show. Till next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, if you can't be good, be good at it. We'll talk
to
you soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit HCUniversalNetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.